14 is one of my favorite passages of Scripture, one that's very familiar to us all. John chapter 14, we'll be looking at verses 1 through 6. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6, as we think about making preparations. You know, anything worthwhile in life requires preparation. Regardless of what it is, some level of preparation is required. And the things of God are no different in our lives. Our spiritual life requires preparation as well. So please stand and join me for the reading of God's Word as we look at John 14, verses 1 through 6. In John 14, beginning with verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? In verse 6, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Father, bless your words. Speak to our hearts today. Let your words become alive in our hearts and our minds and challenge us. Give us understanding. Let your Holy Spirit speak to us through this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Here in these verses, our Lord speaks to us, and He speaks to us of the importance of making preparations. And as believers in Christ, we uniquely understand the importance and the priority of making preparations in our lives. After all, every day we make preparations. We prepare for what is yet to come. We prepare for what lies ahead. We prepare for what awaits us around the corner. If you think about it, life is a series of events that require us to make preparations. And so as we think about our lives, we prepare for school. We prepare for graduation, as many in our community have graduated just this past week. We prepare for our chosen careers. We prepare for our wedding days. We prepare for the birth of our children. And we spend the next 18 or so years preparing them for life. We prepare for retirement, and we even prepare for death. So regardless of what life stage we are at in our lives today, throughout our lives, we are busy making preparation. But we must also not forsake those spiritual preparations in our lives. So preparation is critical and preparation is important, but we must not neglect those most important things. We must not neglect preparing our lives to one day stand before God and see Him face to face. We must also prepare ourselves for the Lord. That is, we must prepare our hearts to call upon Him, to receive Him, to lean on Him, to walk with Him, and to follow Him all the days of our lives. Just as we would call upon, lean upon, depend upon our family, our church family, we must also learn to call upon, lean upon, and depend upon the Lord. We must learn to recognize His sacrifice and the preparation that He has made for us. And here in our text here this morning, He says He's making preparations for us. And His preparation is such that He's not only preparing for us in this life, but He's making preparations for us throughout all eternity as well. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. That tells us some things. First of all, it tells us that we're here but just a little while. That this is just our temporary home. We will not reside here in eternity. The problems that we find ourselves in this life are only temporary. That God has not forsaken us. He said He would not leave us nor forsake us. But that He's given us this precious promise. It tells us that God has a plan. God has a plan for our lives. Did you know that? God has a plan, and more specifically this morning, God has a plan for you. It's mind-boggling to think
that the God that created the universe, the heavens and the earth, that He created everything big and small, is so interested about every little delicate, intricate detail of our lives that God would have a plan for us. Who am I that God would have a plan for me and that God would have a plan for you? You see, it's the Lord Himself who paves the way. Did you know that God has a plan for you and that God has a plan for your life? And His plan is perfect because He is a perfect God. And just because we cannot see God's plan, just because we do not understand God's plan, in no way suggests that God does not have a plan. You see, faith is trusting God's plan even when we can't see it. Because oftentimes we have to walk by faith because we cannot see, nor do we know the fullness of God's plan for our lives. Here He says, I go to prepare a place for you. Notice He didn't promise to send a delegate. He didn't promise to send an ambassador. He didn't promise even to send a committee. But He didn't promise to send anyone but Himself. He cared enough about you and I to send the very best. Here He says, I go. You see, God is infinitely concerned about you and your life and what you're going through and what you're dealing with, so much so that He sent His very own Son, Jesus, to prepare a way for you on the cross and to prepare a place for you in eternity. God has a plan this morning, and that plan involves you. That plan involves your life. It involves you placing your faith, your hope, your complete trust in Him. But not only can we see this morning that God has a plan, a precious plan, a perfect plan, a complete plan. And by the way, God's plan is far better than any plan we can come up with. You know, we like to come up with plans for our lives, and God laughs at those plans. Our plans are so full of flaws, but yet God's plan is perfect. Because not only does He see today and yesterday, but He also sees tomorrow. He sees in those all things. But not only can we see that God has a plan, but we can also see that God has a place. You see, God has a plan for you, and God has a place for you. If you ever doubted your importance in this life, if you ever doubted your importance to God, think about the fact that God has a special plan for your life, and God has a special place just for you. In verse 2 there, he says in our text, I go to prepare a place. And then notice the two words following that, for you. I go to prepare a place for you. For those who come to Him and who call upon His name. Jesus said He's coming for those who have made themselves ready. So that speaks to us about the great importance and the urgency of making preparations to meet God. You see, this tells us that God has a place at His table for even me. And God has a place at His table for even you. It reminds us that no matter who you are, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, no matter how many times you've failed, what side of the railroad tracks you reside on, it reminds us that God's love is sufficient and God's grace is sufficient for us all. It reminds us that He cares for you and that He's preparing a place for you. And if we would but come to Him by faith. So God is busy. Some people ask, where is God in our world? When we see scandals throughout our nation, when we see conflicts around the world, when we see the devastation in Oklahoma and other places around our world, people say, where is God in all of this? God is busy. Not only busy in our world, but He's also busy in glory making preparations for the saints, for the people of God. So we see that He's making preparations for those who have placed their faith, their hope, and their trust in Him. It's a prepared place. It's a place of no sorrow. It's a place of no suffering. It's a place of no sickness and a place of no pain. And there we shall rest in the eternal presence of Almighty God forever and ever. Amen. So God has a plan for you. God has a place for you. There is room for you at the cross, and there's room for you at His table. But I want us to also see that God has a process. God has a plan for our lives. God has a place for us when we leave this temporary dwelling place that we're in. But then God also has a process for us to get there. God has a process for us to follow. What does that process look like? Is that we are to come to Him. We are to walk by faith day by day in Him. And we are to cast our cares upon Him. Jesus said it best in verse 1 when He says, "Let not your heart be troubled." You know, sometimes our hearts get burdened down and troubled about many things. And Jesus here, the one who knows all things and sees all things, says, "Let not your heart be troubled." He tells us to not be troubled by the worries and cares and problems and concerns of this world and this life, but instead to believe in, trust in, hope in, abide in, have faith in Him. He tells us to trust in Him. And when we allow Christ to lay that sort of foundation in our heart, our load gets lighter and our troubles get brighter. Listen, there is no problem that can enter into your life that God is not big enough to handle. Now, regardless of what you're facing today, I don't know what you're going through, but God does. And it may be a problem that's too big for you to handle, too big for me to handle, but I assure you it's not too big for God to handle. And I don't know how people without the Lord make it through their problems. I don't know how they do that. I don't have an answer for that. But I can tell you this. It's only by God's grace. It's only by God's goodness. And it's only by His infinite, matchless, enduring grace that those in Christ and those outside of Christ can walk through their problems and come out on the other side. You see, one common bond that we all have this morning, regardless of whether you believe it or not, regardless of whether you can grasp it, or whether you can comprehend it, whether you understand it or not, regardless of who you are, one common bond that we have today is that we all need the Lord in our lives. You see, you cannot no more outgrow your need for God than you can outgrow your need for that next breath. We need Him. And verse 6 gives us the answer of why we need God so very much. He says there in verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by Me." That tells us of the great importance of how much we need the Lord in our lives, because He is the way. He is the way to glory. He is the way to forgiveness of sin. He is the way of redemption. He is the way of eternal life. There is no other way but through Him. In verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled." In other words, when we turn to the Lord, He lightens our load. He eases our troubled hearts. He makes our dark paths seem brighter. And Jesus said it best in John 8:12 when He said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows Me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." There are a lot of people today in this world that are walking in darkness, that are living in darkness, that are lost, that cannot find their way, that do not know the difference between right or wrong, between what's moral and what's immoral. But Jesus is the way. He is the one that can lead us out of our sinfulness, out of our hopelessness, out of our desperation. He is the one that we desperately need in our lives today. You see, it really does all come down to preparations. It all comes down to being prepared. And I wonder this morning, have we made those preparations? Are we prepared today? Are we making those heavenly preparations? Are we building upon that eternal foundation? Are we building upon the solid rock of Jesus Christ? You see, John 14 tells us that our Lord is making preparation for us. But the question that remains this morning is that, are we making preparations for Him? This Memorial Day weekend, as we honor our fallen and the fact that they laid down their lives to prepare a way for our freedom, for the continuation of our freedom, may we also remember that our Lord laid down His life so that we could be free. Spiritually, the bonds and the chains of sin could be broken. And the Bible tells us, "Whom the Son has set free is free indeed." Thomas asked
an interesting question here as we close. He says, Lord, where are you going? We don't know the way. How can we know the way? And as we think about problems that we're facing in our life today, as we think about situations that we're confronted with, as we think about where we are at this moment in life, a lot of times we may choose other words, but oftentimes we ask the same question that Thomas is asking here. How can I know the way out of what I'm dealing with? How can I know the way to get closer to God? How can I know the way? And here Jesus answers that question for him, and he answers that question for us today. In verse 6, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your precious word. Lord, for the truth of your word. For it is the living word of God that has the power to change our lives. So, Lord, this morning we call upon you, asking you to open our hearts to hear what you would have to say to us. Lord, we ask you to speak to us during this time of invitation. Lord, if there be anything between us and you, Lord, if there's anything in our life that's keeping us from drawing ever closer to you, Lord, would you reveal that to us today? Father, if we don't know you as our Lord and Savior, then today is the day for us to come to you. Father, help us, each one, to make those necessary preparations in our lives that will prepare us to one day stand before you so that we might hear those blessed words, well done, good and faithful servant, enter in. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.